Excuse me, so sorry to disturb you, but you look like you love Black History. And if I'm right, you need to check out the Black History Buff Village over on Patreon. There's no ads or annoying interruptions like this. Just post after post of beautiful Black History. When you get a minute, please check it out. You won't regret it. Links in the description. All right, I'm off now. Bye. Hey family, this is King Caruso, the Black History Buff, and I want to ask you something. How big do you dream? Not just for yourself, but for your people, your culture, your future. Because today, we're talking about a man whose dreams were so big, so powerful, that they scared governments. A man who didn't just talk about Black pride, he built an empire to prove it. We're going to be talking about Marcus Garvey. Some call him a visionary, some call him radical. Some, especially the US government, called him a threat. But no matter where you stand, one thing is clear. The world has never seen another leader like him. So today, we're diving into the rise, fall, and legacy of the man who dared to tell Black people, "Look to Africa, where a king shall be crowned." Let's get into it. Picture this. A young Marcus Garvey on the shores of St. Anne's Bay, Jamaica. It's the 17th of August, 1887. Waves are rolling in. The salty breeze is in his face. It's not exactly the spot you'd expect to birth a global firebrand. But that boy would devour book after book in his dad's hefty library, turning words into fuel for massive ideas. All the same, let's be honest, thinking big doesn't move mountains if there's no action. Garvey saw the colonial setup around him and realized that talk alone wouldn't cut it. If you want to change, you've got to push. Before he turned 20, Garvey was a printing apprentice, which seems dull. But for him, printing was raw influence. He stirred up workers to strike, and he saw how hard the system bites back, and decided to leave Jamaica to get the bigger picture. So, off he went across Central America, then London, soaking up knowledge at Birkbeck College and speaking with people from all over the African diaspora. And one idea kept glowing brightly in his mind: Black self-determination. Garvey believed that if no one's handing you power, you build it yourself. Bold, yes, but was Jamaica big enough for that ambition? Apparently not, because in 1916, he headed to Harlem. And Harlem was buzzing. Jazz, poetry, political chats in every corner. Garvey arrived speaking in a way that made people lean forward, hungry for a new message: Black pride, economic independence, a united Africa. Chapters of the UNIA popped up all over the country. Parades marched through the streets with uniforms and brass bands. Garvey wasn't just blowing smoke, he was building a movement. Not everyone was applauding though. In 1919, a man named George Tyler burst into the UNIA offices, gun at the ready, aiming straight at Garvey. That day, Garvey's wife, Amy Ashwood, jumped in, potentially saving his life. Amy wasn't just a supporting actor. She co-led the UNIA and was neck deep in its operations. Their marriage didn't last, but that moment shows how high the stakes were. Later that same year, Garvey launched the Black Star Line, a shipping company linking Black communities across Africa and the Americas, giving them more economic clout. Families pitched in money to buy shares, hoping that this was the leap they needed. Hey family, I hope you're enjoying the episode so far. Yes, this is an ad, but it's an ad for me. I forgot to mention at the start of the episode that along with Patreon, I also have a newsletter that you can join for free. Isn't it refreshing to get an ad for free stuff for once? The newsletter is something I set up to keep in touch with like-minded people who don't love being glued to apps, but still want to keep up to date with what's going on through the good old written word, you know, like our ancestors did back in the 90s. You can find a link to join in the description. Okay, I'm out. Thanks for sticking around. I appreciate you, and please enjoy the rest of the show. But big visions aren't easy. The ships needed constant repair. Cash ran thin, and the US government, spooked by Garvey's huge influence, took aim. J. Edgar Hoover and his investigators combed through every scrap of the UNIA's paperwork. Trouble was brewing. In 1923, Garvey was indicted for mail fraud. He called it a political hit job, but the court saw it differently. He ended up in an Atlanta prison. After a couple of years, President Calvin Coolidge commuted his sentence on the condition that Garvey leave the United States. So in 1927, he landed back in Jamaica. Despite the deportation, Garvey kept trying. Newspapers, political parties, the lot. But the UNI lost momentum without him rallying the crowds in Harlem. In 1935, he moved to London, giving lectures, writing, but struggling to hold on to that global spark. He died on the 10th of June, 1940, never seeing his grand aspirations fully come to fruition. Here's the twist, though. Garvey's legacy didn't vanish with him. His Pan-African outlook inspired African independence leaders like Kwame Nkrumah and Jojo Kitiama. Malcolm X's grandparents were Garveyites, and the Black Power movements of the 60s echoed his rallying cry for self-reliance. Every time you hear "Buy Black" or "Reclaim Our Roots," that's Garvey's spirit in the air. And Garvey shows us how one person's hope can jolt entire nations, while also reminding us that game-changing dreams can make powerful enemies. Sure, he faced missteps and chaos in his finances, but the core message of uplifting Black people worldwide still hits home. So, do you see a spark of Garvey's legacy in today's community-building efforts? Do you think it's time we dust off his blueprint and push it further? Or is that something we're already doing? I'm curious to know where you land on this, so please, drop a comment, share your thoughts. Let's keep the conversation alive. Marcus Garvey wasn't just a name in a textbook. He was a force of nature, from a Jamaican bay all the way to Harlem and beyond. Yeah, he faced big losses, but his vision shook the status quo. And that's something we can all learn from. So, until next time, family, keep making history, stay informed, and please, stay blessed.
Fellow citizens of Africa, I greet you in the name of the Universal Negro Movement Association and African Communities League of the World. You may ask, what organization is that? It is for me to inform you that the Universal Negro Movement Association is an organization that seeks to unite into one solid body the 400 million Negroes of the world.
Hey, you stay till the end credits like only the smartest of people do. Listen, if you stuck around this long, you sound like the kind of person who might really enjoy my Patreon. Over there, you'll get access to hundreds of ad-free posts, early access to videos and recordings, bonus content, and whatever else I can think of to add value to your life. And you can join for free. Plus, if you join a paid tier, you'll get your name in the end credits of videos and that warm, fuzzy feeling of knowing that you're helping me make the show bigger and better. You can find me by searching for Black History Buff on Patreon or by using the link in the description. That's it. I'm done. Thank you so much for staying with me, and I hope you'll stick around for more episodes and share them with your friends. Till next time, Stay blessed.